This is Jay Sekulow. Former Obama administration DHS secretary says there is a crisis at the border.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
By anyone's definition, by any measure, right now we have a crisis at our southern border.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
According to the commissioner of CBP, there were 4,000 apprehensions in one day alone this past week, and we're on pace for 100,000 apprehensions on our southern border this month. That is by far a greater number than anything I saw on my watch in my 3 years as Secretary of Homeland Security.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a great week. And by the way, I want to say a thank you right off the top here to our ACLJ members and donors in our matching challenge for March. We met our goal. We appreciate it. Couldn't have done it without you. So I'm going to say from all of us at the ACLJ, thank you for your generous, generous support for our work. Busy week last week. Going to be a busy week this week. Starting with the fact that the DHS secretary under President Obama has made it very clear that while the media is trying to say it's a manufactured crisis at the border, let's listen to the DHS secretary for President Obama.
By anyone's definition, by any measure, right now we have a crisis at our southern border. According to the commissioner of CBP, there were 4,000 apprehensions in one day alone this past week, and we're on pace for 100,000 apprehensions on our southern border this month. That is by far a greater number than anything I saw on my watch in my 3 years as Secretary of Homeland Security.
That is by far a greater number than anything that I saw on my watch in my 3 years as Secretary of Homeland Security. Colonel Wes Smith, your reaction?
Well, you know, I got to know Jay Johnson when he and I both were assigned to the Pentagon. He is not given to hyperbole. He's a very measured man and a very believable kind of guy. I appreciated his candor and his honesty. When I hear someone like Jay Johnson, who is not a Republican, he's not a partisan, and he is so measured in what he thinks and speaks, I think the media and the American people have to take this with the utmost seriousness for an Obama official to say, yes, indeed, in spite of what the presidential candidates on the Dem side are saying, in spite of what Nancy Pelosi says, there is a crisis on the southern border, because truly there is.
Fan, this kind of really cuts against the narrative that some of the Democrats were trying to put forward, that this is a manufactured crisis. I mean, this is the DHS secretary under President Obama, as Wes just said, not someone subject to any kind of any hyperbole, and he made a very direct statement.
Jay, it's almost like he missed a party talking point. It's refreshing. I mean, I think he took a look at the facts on the ground and stated the obvious, that there's an obvious crisis and that there has to be a policy solution put into place. But Jay, if there's a crisis, if there's an emergency, the solution has to come from elected officials. That would include the president. That would include Democrats who lead the House, and it would include Republicans who lead in the Senate, Jay. But yeah, you're right. It has been unanimous in Washington, D.C. While there has not been a legislative solution that has been able to be reached, when the president went the route of declaring a national emergency to at least shore up the border while the rest of the debate took place, Democrats in Washington, D.C. did not respond this way, Jay. They, in unison, opposed the president's move and refused to negotiate. I know we'll get into some of this, Jay, but the White House put forward a lot of proposals to give Democrats some of their priorities on this issue. Jay, they simply were not willing to negotiate. Hopefully, these comments by the former secretary, maybe they'll pave the way for new negotiations.
And we only got a minute left here, Harry, before the break. What's your reaction to this?
Well, my reaction is we should note that from 2000 to 2017, illegal apprehensions dropped in the United States by approximately 80%. Illegal immigration increased dramatically in 2018, and we're now on pace for 1 million illegals in 2019. By any definition, this is a crisis.
I mean, it's fair to say right now you've got two DHS secretaries, one Republican, one Democrat, saying we've got a crisis at the border. Your reaction to all this? We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. You're talking about could be 100,000 apprehensions this month. 100,000. These are staggering numbers. And as I said, you've got the DHS secretary under President Trump and the DHS secretary under President Obama saying a crisis at the border. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Get your comments in also by Facebook or Periscope. You can do that as well. We'll be back with more, including your calls, 800-684-3110, in just a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. The numbers are pretty staggering here, Wes. I mean, you're talking about Jay Johnson, the Secretary of Homeland Security under President Obama, said a busy time for them was about, if you look at it, was about 40% less than what's happening right now.
Yeah.
As far as apprehension goes.
Right. And there's more than just a strong U.S. economy that's driving this, that they're looking for jobs. Between 2000 and 2017, you know, as Harry mentioned, 80%, there was an 80% drop in apprehensions from Mexico across the border. And plus, U.S. border security was better then. Now, illegal crossings over the last year have spread 140% up from last year because parents with children are being told they can claim asylum and stay for years, if not forever. There were 76,000 illegal migrants captured last month. Half of them were with families. And that's only the ones that they caught. We don't know how many are not getting caught as they try to cross the border. But if they're with children and they're not from Mexico, then they cannot be summarily sent back. And that's the issue. And that's why the humanitarian crisis is so large.
Yep.
The cities and communities along the border, their social agencies are completely, absolutely overwhelmed. DHS has no more facilities to detain families.
No way. Right.
And yet they keep coming literally by
and
the thousands.
The largest caravan right now is gathering. I mean,
yes.
Big. We haven't even gotten into whether the president's going to close the border. We'll talk about that probably in the second half hour. But I want to play for everybody this Secretary Jay Johnson talking about the staggering numbers. And the Harry, this I want to get your comments, yours, and fans on this. The numbers you're talking about could be 100,000 people right now. That's what he's saying on apprehensions. Take a listen to what Secretary Johnson, DHS Secretary under President Obama.
The number tended monthly to be somewhere between 30, 40,000. The high on my watch was May 2014 when it reached a little over 60,000. And as I said, we're on pace to reach 100,000 right now. And that's a crisis not only in Central America, the poverty and violence, but it also overwhelms our border security officials and their ability to deal with it, and it overwhelms communities on the border, on the Mexican side and on the U.S. side.
So the repercussions of this, Harry, are very serious. This, again, is coming from former Secretary of DHS Jay Johnson under President Obama. So when those left of center are saying this is a manufactured crisis, evidently not.
Absolutely. So it's important to note that the failure to act by left-wingers in the Democratic Party, coupled with judicial missteps, have fueled and incentivized this illegal immigration crisis, which is going to have an adverse effect on many border communities. Last year, for instance, the Trump administration tried to make it harder to pass the credible fear asylum entry test, but Judge Emmett Sullivan blocked the administration by extending habeas corpus to asylum claimants, which means that even those who fail initial U.S. screening will have recourse in federal courts. In addition to that, of course, the Ninth Circuit extended the Flores decision, making it very difficult to detain families with children. What does that mean? It means that these individuals are released into the United States, and it's very possible they will never show up for their asylum hearing. So we need to address that particular issue. We need to address the issue of asylum, and we also need enhanced border security, including a wall and other activities or issues that the administration has advanced.
You know, one of the things I like to do is when we make a statement, I always like to back it up by evidence. I mean, that's what you, one thing you see on this broadcast all the time. We're going to take a position. Here's the evidence to support it. Just to follow up on what Harry said, the Customs Border Patrol commissioner spoke out exactly on this increase in family units is a direct response to vulnerabilities in our own legal framework. This is coming from the head of the Customs and Border Patrol. So I want you to take a listen to this. Again, this is the evidence backing up what Harry just said.
The increase in family units is a direct response to the vulnerabilities in our legal framework, where migrants and smugglers know that they will be released and allowed to stay in the U.S. indefinitely, pending immigration proceedings that could be many years out. This is due to court orders that undermine the integrity of our immigration system. There's no questioning why this is happening.
I think that then when you take it that step further, and you guys said now you got the Customs Border Patrol commissioner, he's speaking out on this. You got Jay Johnson, former under President Obama, the DHS secretary, our current DHS secretary and President Trump are all saying the same thing. The evidence here is now overwhelming.
Well, and the tragedy here is overwhelming as well, Jay, yeah. Because, you know, Wes and the secretary were talking about families. In many cases, these aren't genuine families, Jay. I mean, it's tragic for those who are, but this is perpetuating trafficking as well. Many of these children that come across in quote-unquote families are actually victims of trafficking. They get to the United States, and then because of our laws and the lack of enforcement, they are released into the country, but that victimization does not end. And Jay, it also speaks directly to the asylum issue. The asylum process has been abused. And whether they're families or not, almost to a person, they are claiming asylum. They know our detention facilities are full, so they're released into the United States and many times have multiple years before their court date. Sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. But if they do, it's years down the road. Jay, I mean, I think the facts are in. The crisis is real. The national emergency is real. Now the only question is, who is going to be a part of the solution? I got to tell you, there have been a lot of offers that have come down the street from the White House. To this point, Jay, we have not seen Democrat leaders in Congress at the table willing to negotiate. And many of those proposals, Jay, they included the exact priorities that Democrats had previously offered for. You had a commenter a second ago said that they won't even accept their own truth. Jay, that's absolutely true, because those proposals, they contained that some of the Democrat priorities that they'd previously asked for. It was not enough for Speaker Pelosi.
All right, we're taking your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We already took a couple of comments on Facebook. Let's go ahead and take a phone call again. If you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Colin's calling from Indiana on line one. Hi, Colin. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
My question is, we always hear about the physical wall.
Yep.
What else is President Trump considering on, like, technology, you know, for the ground, above ground? Plus, second part question, why aren't the troops, why isn't he sending, like, triple the amount of troops, like, now? I mean, people to cover the wall, physical people to watch it as well. So
I'm going to let Wes address the deployment issues, because that impacts other deployments. So they are looking at, it's not just the physical barrier, but it's also technology. I mean, Israel's developed a tremendous amount of technology. Now, they still have a physical barrier, but they also have technology for surveillance. And that's all part of what you do in a process like this. But Colin raises an interesting question about troop deployment.
Yeah. Yeah, our troops, you know, are busy troops, and you can't just pull people out of Fort Campbell or Fort Hood and just send them to the border willy-nilly. There are deployment plans, training plans, all of this kind of thing, recovery plans. But not only that, the troops because of posse comitatus, they cannot enforce law enforcement. They are there to observe and to assist the Border Patrol, but the Border Patrol is completely overwhelmed. So that's part of a fix. It's not a really good fix. What needs to be fixed is the perverse, poorly planned U.S. asylum law that actually invites thousands of migrants to come and to overwhelm our border security agents. The Immigration and Nationality Act defines asylum as, quote, well-founded fear of persecution on account of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political opinion. But what's happening is people have learned they can claim asylum for any other thing. They're claiming it for domestic violence, right, or financial hardship. And because the Border Patrol is overwhelmed, they're having to wade them through. Yeah. Immigration law, in fact, allows the president, and here's another quote, to establish additional conditions and limitations consistent with this section under which an alien will be ineligible for asylum. And that's the very, very law that Emmett Sullivan, the federal judge, struck down, and it's blocked the president from even tweaking what's going on down there.
Now, Than rightly points out that the appropriations bill contains border technology security appropriation, so that's a good point. Harry, what were you going to say on that point?
Well, no, I was just going to join with Wesley and point out that we have created perverse incentives for illegal immigration. Keep in mind that under the Flores settlement, essentially, a child cannot be detained for more than 20 days. And that provides an impossible situation for border security agents because they can't process all of the individuals who are claiming asylum now. And so they have to release these children and their families. And meantime, of course, the left-wingers are prepared to provide inaction with respect to immigration and border security and claim that there is indeed no crisis. And so here we have clear dysfunction in the United States, particularly in the House and Senate.
338% increase in border apprehensions is what they're talking about. I just saw the graphic. I mean, we only got 20 seconds here, but then this is – Congress has got to get in this game too. This is not. This isn't a game, actually. This is very serious.
It's more than a million apprehension a year, and it doesn't count the ones that they don't catch, Jay. I mean, it's a crisis of significant proportion, and frankly, the drug crisis is a result of this. Congress has a duty to engage. Hopefully they will, Jay, but to this point, the president has really had to go it alone.
All right. We come back from the break. We're going to take more of your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Also, you want to get your comments in via Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to do that. It's a great way to stay engaged with us if you want to talk to us. 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Back, everybody. We're talking about this crisis at the border. I want to play for you what Jay Johnson, again, I started this at the outset of the broadcast, what this is under President, this is the DHS Secretary under President Obama. So when anybody tells you that this is a manufactured crisis of the conservatives, I want you to listen to DHS, former DHS Secretary Jay Johnson.
By anyone's definition, by any measure, right now we have a crisis at our southern border. According to the commissioner of CBP, there were 4,000 apprehensions in one day alone this past week, and we're on pace for 100,000 apprehensions on our southern border this month. That is by far a greater number than anything I saw on my watch in my 3 years as Secretary of Homeland Security.
By anyone's definition. You can't, Than, get a lot clearer than that. By anyone's definition, there's a crisis on our southern border.
Well, what the former secretary did, Jay, is he looked at the facts on the ground, the numbers of apprehensions that were taking place under a department that he previously headed. He looked at the numbers that he was able to apprehend when he was there, and he realized that the current numbers dwarf them. And, Jay, we talked about this during the break, but those numbers don't even reference those who get in without being caught. So if you're talking about, you know, on pace for 1.2 million apprehensions, how many are coming across illegally? And, Jay, how many of those are being trafficked? How many are wrongfully seeking asylum? Which, by the way, we should say this too, Jay. We have used the asylum process for people who are legitimately seeking it. And when it is abused to this extent, it not only means that we have people wrongfully present in the country, but, Jay, it means that people that really need asylum, that are really being pursued on account of their life, Jay, they don't have a place to go. It takes the place of someone who legitimately needs asylum. So you have this consensus from people who are looking at the facts honestly, but what it has not resulted in, Jay, is Democrats in the Congress being willing to negotiate on policy. At this point, we're left with a focus on the national emergency and securing the border. We don't have a broader discussion on how to actually solve the in-game problem.
All right, let me go to Cole, who's calling from California. If you want to talk to us on air too, by the way, 800-684-3110. Cole, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks, Gene, for taking my call. Sure. In light of the statements that have been released by these very legitimate and credible sources, I'm wondering, why is it that the mainstream media refuses to put this out there? They just won't do it. They don't say anything. I'm hearing virtually nothing.
It's because it cuts against the narrative that they want. The narrative was to send reporters down to El Paso, stand in front of the wall and say there are no problems here. Of course, there's a wall behind them, which may be the reason there's no problem. But now this, Harry, cuts against the entire policy narrative of the left.
I think you're precisely correct. So for months, the ACLJ and others have pointed out that there is indeed a crisis at our southern border. And today we have more and more evidence that migrants are pushing across the border, many of whom are illegal. And this has been fueled, as we've rightly pointed out previously, by drug trafficking, human trafficking, coupled with despotic misrule and kleptocracy in Central America on a massive scale, particularly countries like El Salvador, Guatemala, and others. At the same time, of course, left-wingers in the media, Democrats in the House and Senate continue to deny that there is indeed a border crisis. They prefer to place their heads deeper and deeper in the sand. Why? Because they are fueled, they are motivated by a Trump resistance campaign rather than the evidence. And I think it's a breakthrough to hear from Jay Johnson because he has credibility on this issue. In essence, he has confirmed virtually everything that we have been saying for months. On the other hand, the Democrats, I think, at least in the short run, are prepared to ignore that evidence. The media is prepared to ignore that evidence. And as you rightly point out, the media wants to stand in front of a wall and say there is no crisis. And so I think it's a huge problem, but I think the American people are beginning to see through what the media is saying and what House Speaker Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are saying. And I think the truth at the end of the day will out.
Here's the interesting aspect of this. We said this at the beginning of the program, and that is, Wes, you know Jay Johnson. You worked with him at the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. This is a Democratic appointee. to head up DHS, he is saying that by any, that's what he says, by anyone's definition, there's a crisis at the border. Anyone's definition.
Right, right.
Except most of the Democratic House and Senate.
Right. Yeah. In my experience is working with him on a couple of committees at the Pentagon is that he's an honest broker. He really is. To the caller's question, what is happening, why the media is not reporting on this as much, is that the hatred of President Trump and the unwillingness to give him any credit for anything that is good by the Democrats and by the media is what's driving this, and it outweighs their rationality. It outweighs their concern for the plight of the people who are approaching our border. It outweighs their concern for the victims of human trafficking. You know, Than mentioned that last year there was 2,400 people who came over with what is called fake families. They were being brought across by coyotes who were trafficking them. 2,400 were caught. Those are only the ones that we caught because human traffickers, they do not go through ports of entry normally. They go across a porous border and bring people into illegal work trade, the sex trade, and all of that. That alone should prick the conscience of the Democrats in Congress and of the media, but apparently it's not. And so it's a crisis for the people who are gathering on the border, as well as a national security crisis. And by failing to fix it, what they are doing, they're giving false hope to these needy families from Central America. And apparently they think it's okay to do that because it's a crisis for our population, for national security, for America. It's also a grave humanitarian crisis for the people who travel on that perilous route through Mexico and who gather at the border, many of them with small children.
I'm going to play in the next half hour some more evidence. I want to use this as an opportunity to give you the evidence of what's actually going down on this border and the idea that they're trying to overturn the national emergency declaration, which they were, we should report to everybody, was veto-proof. They could not overturn it.
Yeah, the national emergency declaration will stand. They tried to take that vote in the House of Representatives, but they did not have the votes to underwrite it. They fell almost 40 votes short. Jay, I really think this is a pivotal moment on this issue because while Wes rightly points out that Secretary Johnson has taken an honest look at the facts on the ground, Jay, we need to describe who he is in a policy perspective as well. I mean, he was the Secretary of Homeland Security under President Obama. He is pretty far left on these issues. So if you look at the political spectrum, all the way from President Trump to the Homeland Security Secretary under President Obama, that pretty much covers the entire political spectrum. Jay Johnson, a pretty prominent figure on the left edge there, looking at the facts on the ground, Jay, and concluding that there is a crisis. It involves families. It involves children. It involves traffickers. It involves drugs coming into the country. Jay, the facts are in. There is consensus on them. The only question is, where will there be the political will in Washington, D.C. to actually craft a solution for that plan? The White House has put out a bunch of proposals. What we need now is a House of Representatives that is willing to negotiate with him and do the right thing for the American people.
All right, when we come back from the break, we're going to take more calls and comments. We've got a lot more to discuss. We haven't even talked about the idea of closing the southern border to deal with this. We'll talk about that in the second half hour of the broadcast. Again, a huge thank you to our ACLJ friends and members that supported our work so generously in the month of March. Thank you. Hard to believe it is April. Here we are. Pretty quick year and a half for me, I will say, on a whole host of fronts. But a good one and a good ending to it. Anyways, we'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. You can always support the work of the ACLJ. You know that at aclj.org. And stay engaged with us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I encourage you to do that. And if you want to talk to us on air when we come back, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back with more, including your calls and comments, in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
By anyone's definition, by any measure, right now we have a crisis at our southern border, and we're on pace for 100,000 apprehensions on our southern border this month. That is by far a greater number than anything I saw on my watch in my 3 years as Secretary of Homeland Security.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Talking about apprehensions this month that could exceed 100,000. That, and as Wes Smith rightly pointed out in the last segment, last half hour, that's what we catch. There are plenty that do not get caught and apprehended. But this is a hugely significant issue, and the president's talking about maybe closing the border to get this fixed, and that there's all kind of issues with that we'll get into coming up. But we've had a lot of people that are holding here, and we normally don't do this, but I'm going to go ahead and take a call during the first segment of the second half hour of the broadcast, because Nancy from California has been holding on for a long time. Nancy, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, fellas. This whole thing just really infuriates me, because we could have every military person we have at the border. We could have every Border Patrol agent. We could put up all the equipment we want. The law is the issue. When they catch them, they're going to release them. That's just the way it is. So no matter how much manpower we put into this right now, it's not going to stop it.
Well, one of the difficulties that we have, Harry, is we don't have the capability of processing this amount of people.
I think that's correct. So there's a physical issue. We cannot physically process all of the illegals, particularly those who claim asylum, in an expeditious manner. Secondarily, we also have a legal issue. In other words, the courts are attempting and have so far successfully hamstrung various administrations, including the Obama administration, but certainly the Trump administration, with respect to individuals who claim asylum. So the Wall Street Journal, in an editorial, rightly observes that Congress needs to build stronger legal barriers that migrants and judges cannot evade or bulldoze with incoherent interpretations of the rule of law. So Congress has a major role in revamping the Immigration and Nationality Act in order to assure that our asylum rules are not misused. So far, Congress has been unwilling to really engage. Instead, they wish to claim that there is no crisis. And I think Jay Johnson has punched the balloon of that misstatement quite well. And I think an increasing number of news outlets are prepared to report on the reality at the border, and many individuals who live in border communities are living through this crisis on a day-to-day basis, and it is actually slowing down commercial traffic already. In addition, of course, the president has proposed that he may indeed close the border.
So, Than, what do you think, in light of Jay Johnson's testimony or his statements, his evidence, I'll call it, what do you think the reaction is going to be? I mean, are they going to, is Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer going to stick to the same line? There is no crisis at the border?
They're going to want to, Jay. I mean, that's been their instinct.
How do they do that?
It's going to be harder, because Jay Johnson is definitely an ally of theirs. They know that they can't just run from the statements. Jay, they're going to have to be forced to take the issue head on. And I think they need to take it on in the exact issue that Harry just brought up. He talked about the definition of asylum. Jay, the INA, the Immigration and Nationality Act, defines asylum as a well-founded fear of persecution on account of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or a political opinion. Jay, that is not how the law is being enforced. The Ninth Circuit has been the biggest culprit of it. But to the caller's last point, does the law need strengthened? Yes, it absolutely does. And Speaker Pelosi has an obligation to engage that with the president. But Jay, the law is not as bad as the court's interpretation of it has been. And so reforming the courts, putting additional judges who will actually apply the law as written, that's a part of this process as well. We're making progress on that front. But frankly, politically speaking, if Speaker Pelosi continues down the track she's historically been on, Jay, I think the American people will hold her to account for it.
I think this is a huge mistake that we're making. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. We cleared a couple lines out for you. We'll be able to take some calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you're listening or watching on Facebook or Periscope, we have a special video presentation coming up on this issue. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
There is a real, genuine crisis at the border, as Jay Johnson, President Obama's DHS secretary, said. By anyone's definition, there is a serious crisis at the border. Now, let me set up. I'm trying to play for you the evidence here. I think it's important. Secretary Johnson was also on MSNBC. This is a little bit longer bite, but he gives you the kind of the history of what he looked at when he was in charge of DHS and then compares it to the numbers that we're dealing with today.
I'd get to work and there'd be my intelligence book sitting on my desk, the PDB, and the apprehension numbers from the day before. And I'd look at them every morning. It'd be the first thing I'd look at. And my staff will tell you if it was under 1,000 apprehensions the day before, that was a relatively good number. And if it was above 1,000, it was a relatively bad number, and I was going to be in a bad mood the whole day. On Tuesday, there were 4,000 apprehensions. I know that 1,000 overwhelms the system. I cannot begin to imagine what 4,000 a day looks like. So we are truly in a crisis.
I mean, there you have it. Could not be any clearer. And that's not from Secretary Nielsen. That is from Secretary Johnson under President Obama. All right, I'm going to go right back to the phones, and we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Cynthia from Arizona, another border state. Cynthia, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'd like to know what's different today than it has been in the last two decades. I live in Cochise County, Arizona, and we've witnessed over 20 years worth of illegal aliens.
I think their technology is more sophisticated, too. Their ability to communicate and gather up people is more sophisticated, and they are more adapt at, I think, Harry, seeing the weaknesses within our system.
Well, I think that that's precisely correct. And so if you look at the immigration crisis from a 20-year perspective, I think it's very important to recognize that individuals, particularly those that lead human trafficking gangs or other cartels, they have become much more sophisticated in penetrating the United States border and in understanding the weaknesses, both in our laws, but also in terms of our border security. It's important to note that the United States approach to border security, and this has been a bipartisan problem going back for 20, maybe 25 years, is simply not up to date. It fails to recognize changes in technology, our ability to communicate on an instantaneous basis. But, as I've said previously, Congress has an enormous role to play here. In other words, they need to work expeditiously to rework and update our immigration laws and rules, particularly on asylum. We need more administrative judges to process asylum requests expeditiously. We need more Border Patrol agents, and we also need an increased physical barrier, particularly with respect to areas of the border where we don't have legal ports of entry. But I also think it's important to recognize, going back to what I said previously, that many illegal immigrant advocates have become much more sophisticated. Yep. And they recognize that one of the best ways to get into the United States is to simply come through a legal port of entry and claim asylum, even though it is entirely a false claim.
So let me tell you what I think. And this is what I've been saying for a decade. Well, actually, since 2002, so more than a decade. We have to have comprehensive immigration reform in the United States of America. Now, I'm the grandson of a Russian immigrant. My grandfather, I'm only the second generation in my family born in the United States. So I appreciate and know the importance of having immigration, legal immigration. My grandfather came through Ellis Island. So I want complete immigration, comprehensive immigration reform. You're not going to self-deport 18 million or 12 million, whatever the number is, of illegal immigrants that are here. She might as well get them as tax-paying members of society through the right kind of background checks, and also have them have to pay taxes like every other citizen in the United States. Whether it's a pathway to citizenship, whether it's a green card, whether it's the next generation gets citizenship, the generation that came is given some kind of work visa, whatever it might be. You can work out the technicalities. Then you have to have also at the same time border security, because now you've got Jay Johnson, who is very well respected, but definitely left of center on the political landscape, which is fine, saying, look, by anyone's definition, this is a crisis at the border. This is what he said to Neil Cavuto on Fox News this weekend. Are you open to more wall, more border security? Take a listen.
There's always more we can do for border security in a smart, bipartisan, apolitical way. More surveillance, more roads, more planes, more barriers, more fence, more wall in the places.
So you're open to more wall.
I am open to anything that fortifies our border security where it makes sense. Does it make sense to build a 30-foot wall on top of a 10,000-foot mountain? No, of course not.
I think that's just being smart. So I agree with Jay Johnson. Let me go ahead and take another call. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Robin's calling from Virginia. Hi, Robin.
Yes, not to repeat the previous question, but I had two parts. One was just basically beyond the two or three decades, how is something like this, you know, an immigration overflow historically been handled, if anything has been comparable to this. But more importantly, like why or how, like shouldn't Mexico, or why isn't Mexico playing a larger role of responsibility in solving the problem? Because it seems like if we've got immigrants coming in, they're disingenuous and they're exploiting the rules as they are stated and worded, then couldn't they create some kind of a thing where it would be like not holding places or housing?
Well, I mean, there's an issue with Mexico's, you know, I think they're giving some effort to try to curtail this, but they don't have the resources either, Wes.
Yeah, they really don't. And part of the reason that the president keeps threatening to financially punish the three Central American countries and Mexico is that he feels like they needed to really enforce their own laws on their southern border, and that they need to not facilitate these people who are transiting, you know, through their country. But what we're up against, Jay, we're up against two things, and it's an oversimplification, of course: bad law and biased courts. Laws that are outdated, that simply do not work anymore, that Congress for 25, 30 years has refused to fix, but then biased courts, putting the Flores settlement rule into effect so that you can't hold a child more than 20 days, ties the hands of Border Patrol to actually care for these children. Many of them are unaccompanied. Whenever Emmett Sullivan blocked the president from tweaking you know, the immigration law in order to facilitate and help people, what a crazy thing for a judge to do. We have the Ninth Circuit extending habeas corpus to all of these asylum seekers. Yep. The average court date is 2 years away for their case to be heard, and they are released into the interior in the meantime.
And this is an impossible task for the courts. I mean, it's just the immigration courts are completely overwhelmed, cannot control this. But then it goes back to the congressional engagement here. You've got Jay Johnson, Democrat Secretary of Homeland Security under President Obama, saying we've got, by anyone's definition, there's a crisis here.
Yeah, I mean, look, he said that if he had 1,000 detentions a day, he thought it was a bad number. It was something that overwhelmed the system. I do, too. I mean, I think if you're apprehending 1,000 people a day, it probably is a crisis. Maybe President Obama should declare it a national emergency. When you're talking about 3,000 to 4,000 apprehensions a day, Jay, you just cannot keep up. Wes is correct. I mean, the solution here, there's multifacets to this. You have to upgrade the asylum laws. You have to get better enforcement from the courts. You have to have a comprehensive approach to those who are here illegally. And by the way, Jay, Democrats asked for a solution for the people who were participating in DACA, 800,000 people. The president offered that solution to anyone who was even DACA eligible, about three times the population, yet they were not able to engage. Jay, there's a crisis. And again, I'll say it The question isn't the facts. The question is who wants to be a part of the solution.
Well, that's I think Harry and I said the courts are overwhelmed. They can't keep up with it. The CBD, they can't keep up with the Customs Border Patrol. They can't handle it. You got Democrat, Republican, former DHS secretary saying it's a crisis by anyone's definition. So there needs to be some solutions here.
I think that's precisely correct. But I also think we should not forget the fact that Mexico has a definitive role to play here. The Central Americans that are traveling up through Mexico, they are indeed illegal immigrants in Mexico, and Mexico has stronger immigration laws than we have, yet somehow they're able to travel 1,000 miles in Mexico to come to the United States border. And so I think if there isn't a change in Mexican policy, then the Mexican government and the Mexican people need to pay a price. And I think President Trump needs to make sure that every single possible option is placed firmly on the table in terms of dealing with this crisis.
All right, we're coming up to the very last segment of the broadcast. That means you can ask us a question on this topic or any topic. We're taking your calls. We got a couple lines open. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. For those on Facebook and Periscope, a little music interlude coming up. We haven't played one in a while. If you like the tune, let us know. Maybe we'll play the whole version of it at the end of the broadcast. Tune's Fooling Yourself. And I think we're fooling ourselves. We don't realize this is serious. It's a humanitarian crisis, too. It's not fair to the people that are coming, trying to get here. It's not fair to those that are trying to make sure our laws are complied with. It's just a very difficult situation. Now you got members of the Republican and Democratic establishment, I will say. DHS Secretary saying this is a problem, a crisis by anyone's definition. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more, including your comments, in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. So it's last segment. You can ask us anything. People are. We did not really get into the whole closing down the temporary closing the border. We'll try to save that one maybe for tomorrow, unless we get a question on. But let's go ahead and take Karen's calling from Montana. Big Sky Country out there. Karen, you're on the air.
All right. I totally support President Trump in what he is doing to secure our border. And I want to know, when people leave their country seeking asylum, why don't they stop in the first country they come to that's safe?
That's, you know, you raise an actually a very important legal question, because, Harry, the rule is your first safe country, so to speak, is where you're supposed to apply. If you look at traditional asylum law. So when they're coming through Honduras and Guatemala up through Mexico, technically they should be saying Mexico.
Absolutely. So instead of claiming asylum in Mexico, which is consistent with international law, they travel another 1,000 miles and claim asylum in the United States. So in other words, I think on its face, such claims are duplicitous. In other words, they're not really asylum seekers. They are seeking economic advancement in the United States. And it's important to point out that there are groups in the United States that are actively encouraging these individuals to travel 1,000 miles, sometimes with human traffickers, and come to the U.S. border. We live in a world where a number of Americans believe that the United States should be the only country on the planet without borders, which is a nonsensical position, which is accepted apparently by some of the presidential candidates on the Democrat side. So it's important to note these claims by many individuals coming across the U.S. border for asylum. On their face, those claims make no sense, because they failed to claim asylum when they came into Mexico.
Which is what technically, I mean, under the law, that's the way it's supposed to work under immigration law. That's not happening, Wes.
It's not happening. And because, I mean, we live in a world where people have instant access to technology, to news, to Google. And these people realize that the chaos on our border, combined with Congress being, you know, blocking everything the president tries to do, and a very biased court system, especially in the Ninth Circuit, what all of those things combine to make is we're a magnet. We are actually encouraging people to come here and to claim asylum under false pretenses, because they know that our system is broken. They also know that Congress to date is unwilling to fix the problem. You know, and the presidential candidates on the Democratic side that are running now, it kills me how they laud immigration, and that the president is anti-immigration, and they talk about it over and over, failing to make the distinction between normal legal immigration and illegal immigration that has as part and parcel of it the exploitation of families, sex trafficking,
yep,
drug cartels, all of these things. But in all of their speeches, you will never hear them talk about the distinction between we welcome people, because America is the most benevolent nation on earth. That we are.
That's a good thing.
They never make the distinction between that and the real humanitarian crisis that's on the border.
Dorothy on Facebook said, illegal immigration cheapens the definition of being an American citizen by illegal immigration. I think that's right.
True.
I think that's absolutely true. All right, Steve is calling from Georgia Online 2. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I just want to know if y'all would kick around this idea that Donald Trump's purpose behind closing the border is to create the financial burden both on the north and south side of the border to force the legislators into actually legislating on the issue.
All right, Dan, what do you think about that?
I think the president, Jay, has shown a consistent determination to engage on this issue. I think he prefers to work with Congress. He's going to go as far as he can within the bounds that are of the Constitution affords his powers, and in hopes that they will come to the table. Jay, I really think the key on this point, though, hinges on what Wes just talked about. Our open border and our weak laws are a magnet. They are an incentive to come across illegally. The left in Washington, D.C., Jay, says that they are an advocate for those illegally president, but I just want to propose this. I think the president understands that if the border were secured, if there was a control on the border, the conversation here in Washington, D.C. over what to do with those who are legally present here would take about 5 minutes, Jay. If there were no more magnet, if there were no more incentive to come illegally, and that problem were taken care of, I think you would see Republicans and Democrats come together very, very quickly for a solution for those who are legally present. So as far as the president's strategy, I think he is doing everything he can to demonstrate that he will not let this issue go, and eventually both sides will have to come to the table and work with him.
He's thinking outside of the box. He's not going to just the same old that hasn't worked.
Right, and we give billions and billions of dollars to both to Mexico and to Guatemala and Honduras, the so-called Northern Triangle. And I think part of what the president's trying to do is to say, look, we give you billions of dollars. You need to work with us to help us solve the crisis. At this point, the three countries of the Northern Triangle are doing nothing to discourage this. Mexico is really, really, you know, sort of wishy-washy on the issue. I think the president is trying to hold the financial thing over their heads in order to get them to help us.
All right, let's go ahead and take last call for the day. We'll talk to Janet calling from Texas. Hi, Janet, you're on the air.
Yes, my question is, I'm in Dallas, Texas, and I would like to know what the role is for our governor, or all the governors that are on the borderline, in relation to our senator, Senator Cruz and Senator Cornyn.
Right.
What is Governor Abbott, for instance, doing to prepare to... Because we're not hearing anything about that level.
Well, I think it's fair to say, and I'll let Harry address this, that the border governors are very concerned, but there's the whole federal-state component to this, which is a lot more intricate than people realize.
I think that's precisely
true. And it's complicated because of whose role is what. Yeah.
Yes, and it's also complicated by virtue of the courts. But the federal government has the preeminent role with respect to issues of immigration, and the United States Supreme Court has settled that issue on many occasions. So I think governors have a role to play in pointing out the humanitarian crisis that is caused by lax enforcement and lenient judicial rulings that place a disproportionately adverse burden on states such as Texas, Arizona and New Mexico, as well as California. But the role is primarily at the federal level, and the failure is primarily at the federal level, particularly in Congress, but also with various members of the judiciary.
All right. So we've laid out the problem. We've laid out the evidence. We've talked about some solutions. We'll see what develops tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be more news on other topics as well. We're taking your calls tomorrow, of course. Comments always tomorrow. Great way to get in is on Facebook and Periscope, and of course all of our radio stations around the country. You could always call us. We'll take those tomorrow. All right, we're going to play a little music for you coming out of this. I think fooling yourself is a good we don't need to fool ourselves here. It's a serious problem. We need to take it seriously. We had a lot of fun putting the song together. Band is getting back into the habit of practicing again now that things have calmed down a bit for me. So we'll get the band back together. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Again, your support of the ACLJ last month. You did it. We appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you. Your continued support makes a big difference, too. ACLJ.org for that. ACLJ.org. Coming up, the band is going to do Fooling Yourself, the Styx tune. Encourage you to share this with your friends on Facebook and Periscope. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.